Good afternoon, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Points Beyond via the Odyssey app. Great Nanny Radio program today. You'll notice there's no GP. That's Toby, a.k.a. Toblerone, a.k.a. Tobias Funke, a.k.a. with that hat around backwards, Toki. Toby Altizer, what up, dude?
Going great, man. It's a little bit dreary outside.
Is it going to rain at all today?
Yeah, I was telling you that I had all the jokes ready to go today. I'm wearing a Fred Nats hat, so it's got a nice F on the front. I said it's for the Fred Nats. Also, the grade I gave the Nats hitters last night. I was saying that we sent the Nationals out to Seattle. In turn, Seattle sent their weather out here. I had all the jokes ready to go today.
See, I think you do it. See, those are the kind of things where they're obviously dad jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think you're a dad just yet.
Yeah, I'm not.
That we know of.
Yeah, correct.
Right. I think you lean in. Okay. I think cheesy, eye-rolling, cringeworthy dad jokes are great. I didn't used to. Now that I'm the
you
one making
you are a dad,
them,
by the way.
100%. Now that I'm the one making them and making my son squirm, it's the best. The absolute best. So, and you can try it with a very chotch kind of delivery, right? Where it's like, looks like we traded. With who? Seattle. We sent our team out there. They sent the weather here. You see what I'm saying?
Like now, and the key is that laugh to seal it.
Yeah, they're like,
at least someone found it funny.
Kind of thing, right? It's like, I tell you, you know who thinks my own jokes are funny is me. Like that kind of guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that guy. We got plenty to do on the radio program today. Cliff Kingsbury spoke. A couple guys didn't show up to OTAs. Mm. Always fun. Mike Rizzo returned serve. He responded. He was on the Junks this morning. They did an awesome job of asking him all the right questions. We've got some of that audio. We'll play for that for you in the 4 o'clock hour and kind of go through kind of what we learned and what we know from OTAs. First, let's pit stop real quick. Eastern Conference Finals last night. Tyrese Halliburton was unbelievably good. That's one of those, and I hate that I'm doing this right now, but just offering a window, right? This is what we do in sports talk sometimes. This is a little bit too shouty show, but bear with me. So you have a moment a couple of nights ago where Anthony Edwards, who is great, who's an all-NBA caliber player, who's a star, superstar, whatever you want to call him, made Team USA, was a contributor, has a put-your-team-on-your-back opportunity and doesn't. Now, OKC deserves credit for that to a lot of degree. The way they were defending him, running multiple different options at him, double-teaming, tilting everything that way. He was passive. It wasn't that they couldn't score. They scored almost 130 points. But still, I can't have you be outshot by Jaden McDaniels in that game, right? So we all know the lesson. Now, flip side, a young ascending star coming into his own who's had an unbelievable postseason with a chance to put a foot on the throat. And Tyrese Halliburton damn near has a triple-double in the first half last night. Toby, he was tremendous.
So good. And I think it's funny that now, over the last 2 years, two prominent examples of players voting anonymously in a poll and voting who the most overrated player in their respective leagues are. We saw this in the NFL. Who was named most overrated? That's right, the guy that won MVP this year, Josh Allen. Who was named most overrated in the NBA by the players this year? Tyrese Halliburton. The guy that last night had 32 points, 12 rebounds, 15 assists. Oh, by the way, without turning the ball over. Something that's never been done. Absolutely incredible to see what he's done this playoffs. And I think it's really cool to see these markets that everybody talks about with the NBA. Let's get Giannis out of Milwaukee and send him to New York. Let's get so-and-so out of this city and send him to L.A. You know who's going to end up left at the end of this thing? Oklahoma City and Indiana. Two places that no one ever wants to go, yet they're going to be the two best teams in the league.
So the association, their headquarters is probably, you know, not thrilled about that because who knows what the ratings are going to be. But for people that love the sport, it's awesome. It's what a lot of us have been begging for. This league for a long time felt like a farm system for Boston, New York, Miami, and maybe a couple other teams that would jump up every once in a while. But now, all of a sudden, you look around, parity's the name of the game, man, with the different tax structure, the luxury, the different salary aprons, et cetera. Really, really fun. But Indiana, I said this to Linnell yesterday, and I just want your thoughts on it before we move to OTA stuff. It just feels to me like somehow they're dictating. Even you know, New York hadn't been blown out too much in this series. They haven't gotten the doors blown off. I mean, last night, again, was single digits. Was, you know, kind of every time they'd pull away, New York would make a run. They're so tough. Brunson's been awesome. They're trying to figure out what to do with Cat to both get his offensive production but also hide him at times on defense with matchups and things. It just always feels to me like Indiana gets the thing that they want and New York has to react to it. not the other way around every time. Sometimes they do. Sometimes New York will get the right look, will get a switch, or get what they want. It just feels like Rick Carlisle's winning here.
Yeah,
doesn't it feel like that to you?
He definitely is, and it's funny because Tom Thibodeau is supposed to be a defensive genius, and yet it feels like Indiana is kind of able to dictate on the offensive end. And then on the other side, it's not as if Indiana's been incredible defensively. Last night, the first quarter looked like sometimes what you see at a halftime score in the playoffs, where Indiana's in the 30s and the New York Knicks are in the 40s, and the New York Knicks are in the mid-30s, right, mm-hmm. at the end of the first quarter. So it's not as if they've been dominant defensively either at times, but it's just crazy to see that a team that doesn't have the quote-unquote big star, Halliburton's getting there now because we watch him every night, but going into this, people were like, Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, like these guys are playing incredibly well together. It does feel like they're getting outcoached because there's no question in my mind that the New York Knicks are probably the more talented basketball team. But when you have a guy like Rick Carlisle who seems to be pulling all the right strings and pushing all the right buttons at the right times, I think you're seeing why they're winning this series.
All right. That was our Eastern Conference Finals discussion. More basketball to come. By the way, Monday Metal Chris, who's in today, running the board, pointed this out. If you're a conference final in one of the four major sports, it's 3-1 in your conference final right now. That's a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
After what's been a pretty captivating postseason, I think, in a lot of the sports in different series. But that's where we are. So hopefully championship rounds provide a little bit more. So here we go. Who is not at OTAs? There are three names worth bringing up. One, we've talked about a lot, Terry McLaurin. I think everybody understands. Right? McLaurin, a lot of deposits in the bank, has done everything that he's supposed to do at all times. Something similar happened, I think, a few years ago when he got his contract with with the Rivera and the Martys. This is happening now. It's business. I don't love that it's happening. It's one of the things that I'll always be frustrated by, just in general, that why can't we do the business before these sorts of things happen? But it's just the run of events in the NFL. It's how it goes. It's annoying to me, and it seems it's avoidable. Because we control and we could text somebody or call somebody or do whatever, but just seems to be the way it's done. So no, I don't think anybody's at fault there. On the same page with me?
Correct, yes.
Person number two, Laremy Tunsil, seems like is not at OTAs. This one, on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most annoyed I could possibly be, 1 being not annoyed at all, in fact, I like it, this is probably a 5 for me, which I think I'll be higher than most. My view, which I'll get to in general, is it always used to bother me when Trent Williams, for example, wouldn't come to OTAs. Here's the thing. When you go, I'm working out on my own, and you show up and you're an all-pro caliber player, you're a pro bowler, you're a star, it works, I guess. So you've earned the right to me to a degree to do your own thing.
Sure.
I still think when you're a star, when you're an alpha, when you're one of the dudes that everybody's looking at, there's value in going. As do most of your teammates. When you get 96% attendance and you're one of the two people that's not there, hard not to notice that, right? But he's got enough deposits in the bank. He's played really, really well. And I would assume that's going to continue. If you don't, you open yourself up to criticism. Thoughts there?
Yeah, I think with Laremy Tunsil, I would love for him to be there, obviously. But offensive line is a position that generally, you can get some work in. You can work on some of the chemistry. I understand all those things, but there's no pads on. You know, this is more so in a lot of ways to help out with the skill position guys, with the wide receivers, with the chemistry, with the quarterbacks, and some of that simple stuff and working on technique and stuff. He has, like you said, enough deposits in the bank. I'm not worried about his pass protection technique. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. So I would prefer him to be there. I'd probably say I'm right around that same number scale, 4 or 5, somewhere around there. But it's not like alarm bells are going off that he's not there.
And it's worth noting, and a couple guys have pointed this out, I think smartly, he didn't do this a lot in Houston either.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning he would do it on his own. Again, you show up and perform, it's harder to quibble. Again, I think there's value, but I understand I'm a little bit old school in the minority on that one. Here's the big one to me. Marshawn Lattimore not posting. Now, I haven't heard, and if somebody has, by all means, at Funny Danny. Toby, what's your Twitter?
At Toby_Altizer.
The underscores always throws me. I couldn't remember if there was one or not, and I apologize. I should know that.
Again, I hate the underscore.
I'm not an underscore guy.
At Toby Altizer is suspended somehow.
You know what you did. Where was I?
Oh, yeah. Lattimore.
This is my Chase Young rant all over again. You stunk when you came here. Now, there might be a reason for that. There might be great reason. And this year, wait till you see it. If that's the case, fine. Remember this segment. Call me and yell at me. If that's the case, and you're awesome, talking about Marshawn Lattimore, I guess I'll just deal with it. To me, you came in midstream with a lot of expectations. Some of them may not have been fair, to be honest with you, that you were going to be the savior for this garbage secondary that was terrible last year. I happen to believe I'm in the minority on this, but I believe their run defense was so bad because they decided we can't leave any of these dudes alone for a second. It's like a toddler with a switchblade. You can't let them. You can't just close the door and hope for the best.
Yeah.
They were awful, and they backed off when they decided they were going to stop the run. They did. I mean, look at the Baltimore game. Derrick Henry ain't beating us in the first half. They shoved it. Well, Zay Flowers went for 9 for a billion. The Eagles game. Let's try to make sure we cover everybody. Saquon Barkley goes nuts. They commit resources, and Kenny Bleepin' Pickett carved their asses up. That to me was the problem. He was supposed to save it and give him a chance, and he was terrible. Again, there may be reasons for it, but he wasn't any good. When that's the data, when that's the sample size, oh, God, just show up. God, just show up. It's so easy to show up. Now, the caveat, maybe a life thing happened, maybe birth of a child, maybe, I'm not even being flippant, maybe you got to appear in court, maybe there's an obligation that sure. You can't get out of. And I'll say, if that's the caveat, if that's the case, and you're not just skipping because you don't feel like being there, totally fine. I mean, again, life happens, right? Guys who even are doing the right thing sometimes have to go places, have to be certain places. And it doesn't matter what the schedule is. They've gotten this schedule in advance. You know when 88, approximately, of your 90 teammates are going to be there. Everybody sees value in it but you. What makes you special? What makes you better? Especially when the deposits you put in weren't very good. Here come the responses. It's voluntary, with the clap emoji. Volunteer to get better at football. How about that? How about to have a desire where it's more important to you than it is to me, fat zilch, whose happiness is derived from your play, to be great at football. Show up and get better at football immediately at all times. Second, at your job, if something was voluntary, would you go? Number one, not for my thing and not for your thing. That's why we're zilches. That's why we're stupid slouches working for somebody else. If millions of people gave a damn about what you were doing, on a weekly, daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis, and you had that kind of investment, and you're a millionaire with expectations, you post like 88 other people did. Yes, those guys should go. If I have voluntary whatever, hear about the cool corporate things that we're doing, I'm not going to that, right? But there's a reason I'm just sort of a schlub that's stuck right here. I want you to be a star. Do you want to be a star? Do you care? You have a hard way of showing it. Tag it.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have any reason to feel like he needs to prove his name to us here. I know that because he's played so long in this league, so he's probably not worried about thought process is. He's probably not worried about what we're saying here on the radio. He probably doesn't care about any of that. But the reality is, if you show up, you at least make it so that you take away one of the things we can talk about, Danny. If he shows up to all the voluntary stuff and he's there for the mandatory minicamp and he goes through the whole offseason program and then he sucks, you go, well, that's on Adam Peters. But if he shows up now and stinks, we're talking about, yeah, it's on Adam Peters because you don't love the trade, but it's also on Lattimore for seemingly not showing up to do his job, right? And if it's a contract thing, he's guaranteed $2 million this year. He's not guaranteed anything next year. If it's a contract thing, I'd point to him and say, bud, there's a reason why you were traded from New Orleans for what you were. There's a reason why when the team got you here, they didn't immediately do it. You want to know why? Because there were probably questions in their own mind, is this guy going to be able to get back to it? Because guess what? Part of the reason we talked about when this trade was made, that it was a decent one or something that maybe you had now.
100% I would have made the trade.
But there was an out, right, Danny?
Right.
Like, you could immediately say, all right, after a year, he stunk. And by the way, we had this discussion this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
He stunk. You could save $16 million just moving on. When that's part of the trade, there's a little bit of a, well, I don't know. And so, why are you not showing up for OTAs? You know, and there could be a legitimate reason. And the other thing, too, is you could say, well, I'm working out in Arizona or I'm working out in Florida or wherever he chooses. Great. Come work out in Ashburn with us. Right? Like, I don't understand what you gain from missing this. And It'd be one thing if you're like Laremy Tunsil, who's been great year in, year out. It's another thing if you're Terry McLaurin, who's got the Good Guy Award, and you understand this whole thing. You're new to an organization, you're constantly injured, and you were horrible last season. That's three reasons why you should be there, on top of the fact that it's your job.
Bobby Wagner's there. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is Bobby?
Yes.
Bobby Wagner stops playing right now. What are your measurements for the Gold Jacket, sir?
Yes.
There's a bunch of Zach Ertz posts, right? Nope. They'll probably tell him, Zach, relax. You've done enough. Take these off. We'll let some of the kids run around and catch some of the passes. There's a reason guys post to these things. There's a reason that when you don't do it, you do your own thing, it opens you up to your point for criticism. I understand it's voluntary. I'm very aware. I understand the difference between the word mandatory and voluntary. I get that. I'm great at it. In fact, I'm awesome at knowing the difference. All I want is for you to volunteer to show up and get better. All I want is for you to volunteer to be there with your teammates. If you're not the kind of person that wouldn't volunteer when everyone else is volunteering, how are we supposed to count on you? How are we supposed to believe in you? You didn't go through what we went through. And again, he's a vet who's done a lot of good in this league. He was really good at one point. Hasn't been good here. We haven't seen it. It'll always frustrate me, this thing. And again, I understand life happens. If he's there tomorrow, I'll say mea culpa and I'll apologize. And that's that, because there was some extenuating circumstance. To me, though, this is just one of those super easy, controllable things. If your point is it's not that big a deal, that's my counter to you. If it's not that big a deal, just do it. Right? Nobody's saying you got to show up and do an Ironman. Nobody's saying you got to show up and push a boulder up the hill. Go be with your teammates. Even if you don't intend to do anything, just cut it up in the lunchroom. Hang out at the table with the other guys in the secondary. Get to know your new safety, who you may or may not have met yet. I mean, actually, they know each other, but both played in New Orleans. But get to know Jonathan Jones, who you may or may not know. Mm-hmm. Offer something to Mikey Sanders still. Hey, man, you're going to play both the slot and outside. Here's something I learned at one point in time. You can help, even if you're not going to run sprints. It's just so easy. It's such loser talk to just to bleep off and do your own thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about just being around, we talked about this with Bobby Wagner a lot last year, where he had an impact on the football field, there's no question. But maybe his biggest impact was helping those guys in the defense. Regardless of what you think of his play on the field, Marshawn Lattimore has a great track record in this league. You know who he could help out? All the young corners in this secondary. He could help out Trey Amos, someone who's wearing now his number, right? Number 23. He could help him out and say, hey, man, you're doing this technique on press man. You're talking through stuff, watching film with these guys. Being around helps out the football team. And again, we understand it's voluntary. You can say all those things you want. Just show up and help out, man. Like, you're going to get your $2 million, $18 million, whatever you're going to get regardless. Can you please just show up? Like, can you just show up and help the guys out? And it's one thing if you have the track record with an organization, with a city. If this were New Orleans and he was still there, Danny, I think this is a different discussion. You know, if he had played well and he'd been there for a long time. Like, there's a reason why the tone is different for Terry McLaurin and for Marshawn Lattimore. Terry had a career year last year. He's been someone that's built up enough in the bank with us here and in the media, with us here as fans, that we look at and say, no biggie, we understand, and it's okay. Even if he wasn't with the contract thing, if he missed, he'd be like, maybe a little out of character for Terry, but still okay, we believe in Terry. Marshawn Lattimore showed up here, and one thing that I didn't like is this team was so disciplined all year defensively, right? They didn't have the stupid plays. While they might have got just gashed in the run game, they might give up a big pass play, they might make some penalties, it wasn't like stupid penalties after the play. Do you notice that those picked up a little bit when Lattimore was here? So he didn't even fit into exactly what you were doing. He brings over some of that. He played horribly in big spots. Like, you want to go, look at the Saints game. I could have covered the Saints receivers. You don't even know who was playing receiver for them that game. It wasn't Olave or Shaheed. So figure out who was playing receiver for them. I can't remember. So congratulations, you played well for a game or two. And then you're just not going to show up for OTAs the next year when all we've seen in big spots is you getting in fights with A.J. Brown because you're getting beat by him all game. You standing still in your stance while A.J. Brown runs a slant for a touchdown against you. Like, you could help yourself out just showing up for OTAs, and he very well may show up for tomorrow. I wouldn't count on it, but you need him. Like, he could be the linchpin for this defense, and he's not there for OTAs.
So I've seen a little bit of speculation on what I want to get into this next, that this is contract related. That he's doing something, you know, it's not exactly the same situation as McLaurin, but you mentioned the low amount of guaranteed money, And he may be, and again, no one's spoken to him. No one's reporting this, but you're kind of looking at the math problem and you're trying to solve for X. Why aren't you here? Well, the variable might be contract related. I want to jump into that in a second because of what they gave up for him. We'll go through that. And also want to get your reactions. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. You heard us go through it. McLaurin, Tunsil, Lattimore, not at OTAs. Everybody, wouldn't you know it, everybody else is but those three guys. What's your reaction? We'll do that next on The Fan. Stay here, Toby. Stay here. Virginia Tech, Toby Altizer is going to start running through the tunnel right now.
I'm about to start jumping up and down.
Getting ready to go. Oh, rock and roll a little bit, Tobes. Welcome back to the show. G&D here on The Fan. Toby hanging out with us. No GP. Well-deserved vacation. Speaking of vacation, that's where Marshawn Lattimore might be.
Is he with GP?
Well, he ain't at OTAs. Who knows? It could be staying. Right now, we don't know. If he's with Grant Paul.
Do you think Grant is taking him through workouts and saying, hey, this is how we're going to fix your technique. We're going to work on this. How's your hammy doing? Is he giving massages to make sure his hamstring's good?
Or like, the ball's up for grabs. He doesn't come down with it. And he's yelling at like Grant's son or something. Trash talking, getting a personal foul penalty from his mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Couple guys are at OTAs. McLaurin, we've gone through that. I don't want to speak for you, Tobes, but I am not upset about Terry McLaurin not being at OTAs. I'm correct. Not. And maybe it could be a double standard because of the fact that I like him. In general, I want guys to be there, and I think he would be there if it were not for this contract thing. So in Terry's, six seasons now? This is the second time this has happened, which is a contract-related thing, right? Yep. So he doesn't post then, and I kind of go, I wish that wasn't the case. I'm frustrated more by the situation than I am at him.
Yeah, I think JP brought up a good point earlier. It seems like he's been around the facility, but this is a chance now for the media to be around, and McLaurin probably doesn't want to answer questions. So if that's the case, and they're going to get this thing figured out, we've seen this happen before. The only time, by the way, before with McLaurin was the contract situation. It got worked out, and then he was back at all the mandatory stuff and ready to roll. So not a big deal for me about McLaurin.
So Laramie Tunsil, who's got a history of this, again, I don't love this. I do not love it. This is very simple to me. Your teammates are doing it. This is the thing we're trying to establish. The story I've told a million times over, Tobes, that I'm sure everybody's bored by. But for all these years, and I know you've gotten to go a couple times now, Grant and I have had the incredible privilege of going down and getting unbelievable access at Nat Spring Training, right? For so many years, you're watching this first division club, this World Series caliber team on paper, go about their business to try to get ready to go win a World Series, mm-hmm. right? And you've got stars up and down, whether it was Bryce for a time where the whole world's looking, Strasburg, the whole world's looking, Max Scherzer, a Hall of Fame pitcher, et cetera. And Scherzer's the name I always bring up. So one of the things that I would do as an executive, and I shouldn't be an executive, not saying I should be, I'm not doing the thing where I know more than somebody, okay? But one of the things that I would do is I would tell every teenager, I would tell every 21-year-old at A-ball, every kid that's trying to make it, every guy that's hanging on at AAA, you see that guy who's grunting and pissed off because he didn't execute a changeup in his first bullpen of the year? Do you see that guy with a dark heart who never stops competing? Do you see that guy who's going to outwork every single one of you? Do what he does. Do what he does. You eat what he eats. You lift what he lifts. You run what he runs. You throw what he throws. You follow Max Scherzer around like you're a rabbit and he's got a carrot up his tuchus. Do that. That's my example. Follow the best. Follow the Cy Young winning, no hitter throwing, stalking madman that's going to pitch a couple of decades in this league and go to the Hall of Fame when he's done. If you care. If you don't, go through the motions, do your PFPs half-assed, and then just go about your business and you can wear another uniform in a couple seasons.
Yeah.
Follow him around. Washington's got a couple of those guys. Bobby Wagner's one of those dudes. Right? Some of their guys like Jaden Daniels are still finding their way, but they've got enough vets, enough Zach Ertzes, where you would go, I don't know about you, dude. I'd follow the guy.
And that's one of the things that stood out right away for me about Jaden, by the way, being out of training camp last year. When Jaden would have a session where he was not in, or, you know, Mariota was taking some reps, where was Jaden standing? Right next to Bobby Wagner. And so having him around, even when Wagner's not on the field, and having him be able to talk to Cosby, he talked about, hey, I could tell by the way that you were set in your stance here that you were pulling or whatever. Like, those sorts of things. You don't think that Lattimore, being in the league as long as he has, doesn't have a little bit of that cachet? I mean, he was never on the level of like a Richard Sherman cool or a Jalen Ramsey cool. But I can guarantee you that a generation of corners that are probably around the age that are coming into the league, like a Trey Amos for the Commanders or a Mikey Samers still, they thought Marshawn Lattimore was pretty cool, right? This is Ohio State guy. He played with some swag when he was in New Orleans. Think about all the epic battles he had with Mike Evans, excluding the wild card game this past season where he was just torched the entire time. But he was someone that was cool. That's kind of how Bobby Wagner is, right? People want to be around this guy. You're telling me that corners that are young, that are coming up, that are learning the game, that are just brought into the league the last couple of years with this football team wouldn't love to be around Marshawn Lattimore and pick his brain a little bit? Literally, even if he showed up, Danny, and didn't participate, I'd prefer that over not being here, even if he's working out somewhere else. If you said, hey, man, Hammy's still not feeling good, which, by the way, I would hate.
Yeah.
But if he showed up and said, hey, I'm not feeling like going through the drills today, I'll stand off to the side, totally fine. No big deal. Just show up, please.
So let's bring up the idea. A couple of people have floated this, and I have not seen a report. If there is one, tweet me at FunnyDanny. You can tweet Toby at Toby_Altizer. I have not seen a report on this, but people are speculating. They look at the incredibly low amount of guaranteed money in Lattimore's deal. Now, to me, because they didn't move on from him this offseason, it's not like he's going anywhere. Correct. He's got an $18 million cap hit, which means he's getting a lot of that. So I understand people look at guaranteed money as kind of the only thing that matters. And in general, for a long-term deal, it's the most important thing. But it's not as if that's all he's getting paid, right? It's chicken feed, as I understand this. But he's got no guaranteed money next year. He's very cuttable after this season. Zero dead cap hit after this year.
And he's cuttable this season, by the way. $16 million savings.
That's what I was getting to. Now, I'm in the minority on this. I would have done that. I know they traded a third, fourth, and a sixth in this year's draft. I get it. It was a steep price to pay. I don't even have a good analogy, but when you're like rowing the boat 2,000 meters and you're at the 1,700 mark and you go, crap, we don't have an oar. And somebody comes along and goes, I got an oar. Costs you a little more out here on the open water than it does on land, though, back in the offseason. Do you want to take it? We're this close. Yeah, I got to take it. Let's go. Give it to me. Now that we're out of the fog of war, now that we're out of our first contending season in decades, you go, that was a steep price to pay, and I would have paid it. I would have 100% paid it. I was in on the trade. I would have made it. Maybe not knowing what I know now, would I have made it, but at the time, 100% I was on board. Here's also what I would say. Nope. That's it. I'm saving my $16 million. That money is going towards one of the high-profile free agent corners. Carlton Davis, Reed, or any a number of guys that I thought could have been massive upgrades that they said, no, we got one in-house. So here's what I need. If you think the solution's already here and it's Marshawn Lattimore, we should probably have made sure, I'm saying if this contract situation is why he's not here, we should probably make sure he's all square in that regard. Does that make sense? Like when you're in the offseason and you're going, all right, is anybody going to agitate and screw us when it comes to these sorts of things? Hey, Lattimore might. Okay, let's get to work on that. What's the priority? Do we want to pan? Do we want to extend? Do we want to restructure? Or do we want to say, you know what? He wasn't very good. He didn't play well, and he committed a lot of penalties. At least there's that. Let's move on and use that cap space, which is an asset for us as we're trying to build something. That's what I would have done. I would have cut bait and lost my third, fourth, and sixth round pick. Guys like me would have screamed at me for that. Right? Talking heads. Chris Russell would have had an aneurysm.
Yes.
I'm sure everybody would have said how stupid I was, et cetera. And I'm fine with that. Call me stupid. I have a new player. No problem. They kept him. And if they kept him, I need you to know that this might be coming if the contract is the issue. I know I went along a lot of places. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think, you know, if the issue is with the contract, then I don't, from his side, I can understand it. Right, he has a long pedigree. He was terrible last year when he got to Washington. So the reserves he has in the bank here are not good. But the reserves overall throughout his career have been good. And he's saying, look, I'm only guaranteed two. Could we redo something? I can understand it from his point of view, but from the commander's point of view, if he said anything, I could say, okay, maybe we can rework a little bit. But without telling him this, part of the reason you're attractive to us right now is if you suck again, we can say adios and actually gain from it. Right? Like, they can literally move on from a dude and say, you know what? Instead of feeling bad that we lost a corner, we feel great that we gained $16 million in cap space. The question I have, Danny, for you off of this is Dan Quinn, and I don't think like, Dan Quinn's got good at bluffing with us here and kind of not saying anything.
Yep.
One thing, though, that he said when they acquired Lattimore is when you get a chance to go get a number one corner like that, a lockdown guy, you go get him. Do you think that he now has changed his mind on that? And he looks at Marshawn and is like, well, we thought that's what we were getting, and maybe not anymore. Or do you think that Dan Quinn looks at it and says, no, that guy's still in there. He's just not that same dude at the end of last year for whatever reason.
I wonder. I wonder. Deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, I wonder what they really think. My guess is they're still bullish. Because I think he would have behaved differently. Not you, but I think the team would have done something different. Because, again, I keep going to it. You look at Byron Murphy, Traverius Ward, Carlton Davis, DJ Reed. Just thinking of the guys that signed just this offseason. Some of the really good corners that were out there on this market. That was one of the couple spots. Defensive end was not there. There were no real good in their prime defensive ends. That's why everybody kept getting all the steamies for Trey Hendrickson. There's a lot of guys whose names you recognize that are probably, you know, not even probably, their best days are behind them, and they're still worth signing, by the way. There are a couple guys, but maybe not at that premium that the free agent feeding frenzy would have indicated. But cornerback, I think, to me, was the one spot where you could have gone and done something without having a ridiculous contract. You could have done the $18 million for a cap at AAV, again, for Traverius Ward or Carlton Davis or DJ Reed. That's what you're paying Lattimore.
Yeah, and I think, without a question, you take all those guys over Lattimore right now.
And I certainly would, but again, they wouldn't. Because, I mean, they got him. I mean, the swap would have been, yes, we lost those picks, and it cost us $2 million to find out. And that difference is the $16 million AAV for DJ Reed. There it is. There's your player. Now, it was not a great route to get there, but what's the point? Is the point to be right or the point to build a great football team? I don't know how to evaluate that. I think they wouldn't have gotten Jonathan Jones, drafted Trey Amos, if they were going, this guy stinks. We got to do something about it.
Yeah, and I think this is a chance that if you were going to make this move, you could do it right now as a general manager like Adam Peters, because Adam Peters could make the wrong move like this, cut him, and is he suddenly on the hot seat, Danny? No. No chance he's on the hot seat. You know, could Joe Shane make this move? Trade for a guy and then cut him the next year to save 16? Absolutely not. That's fireable. That's something that you get moved on from. A guy in Adam Peters' position could make that sort of move. So it makes you believe that either Adam Peters is trying to prove that he's right as an early general manager, or he truly still believes that this guy can get back to that level. I'm hoping it's the latter. I'm hoping it's that they believe he can get back to being a number one. Because I think if he is a number one, Danny, then you could look at this defense being a totally different animal.
It's a game changer. We've talked about this as one of the forks in the road for this team and this defense this year. There are two to me. Javon Kinlaw's one, and Lattimore's the other. If they're right about both guys, A, ego in my face and I'll be happy.
Yes.
I'll order it sunny side up. And B, this is a different defense. I think that's an instructive point. Speaking of instruction, somebody that we know was put to work today, was very busy with the Local 53. We will tell you about that when we come back next. So what have I told you, Tobes? The greatest, I don't know, the greatest afternoon drive DJ in human history was right down the street. And he was available to come by and chat with you for a couple of minutes. You don't have to do anything. You just show up to work and this guy's going to come by and chat with you. And listen to your demo and give you a couple pointers. Be pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it'd be great.
Something you would do. How about Brian Mitchell? The number one all-time leader in punt return yards. Is that it, Danny? No. How about the number one all-time leader in kick return yards? How about the guy that's second only to one dude, maybe the greatest football player ever, Jerry Rice, in all-purpose yards? How about Brian Mitchell being asked by Dan Quinn and company to be a guest lecturer, to be a guest coach, to be a guest, I don't know, extra set of eyes at the Local 53's little OTAs here today, working with punt returners? Isn't that wonderful?
Two things. So cool. So cool. So good. Smart.
Yep.
Things that you should have been doing for a long time. Two, finally, right? Like, at least they're doing it correctly. It was so cool driving in earlier, listening to B. Mitch and Finley. And JP's like, by the way, B. Mitch, you're worried where he's at? He's actually helping the punt returners right now. Immediately got fired up. Immediately he's like, you know what? This is what they should have been doing all along. Anybody that had came in the building that was going to work as returner should have said, hey, here's Brian Mitchell's number. Give him a call. Ask him for pointers. Have him work out with you. Whatever. And do it that way. The fact that first day of OTAs, Jalen Lane, a guy that when Adam Peters gave him a call, he said, you were the number one punt returner on our board. You were the number one returner on our board. Immediately, first day that he's working with the whole team at OTAs, they have Brian Mitchell shaking hands and saying, hey, man, how you doing? You ever need help here? It sounded like B. Mitch was saying that he's already had conversations with Jalen Lane. Mm-hmm. They're doing it the right way. You have a legend. Like, that's something that I was talking about before. Yesterday, we were talking about the name stuff. We're not going to get back into that. But it felt like, at times, people are now afraid to embrace the past because the history. Forget that. Embrace the legends that you have. Like, as soon as you draft a dude, like when they drafted Emmanuel Forbes, you know who should be calling immediately? Daryl Green. Right? Like, dudes like that should be always incorporated. You have some great players for this organization, and especially in a position like returner that's a little more niche, where there's not as many guys that can give you the insight like a Brian Mitchell. You have that guy on your side. Use him. He would love to.
Yeah, Brian Mitchell will talk to you. I'll tell you that right now. If you reach out to Brian, he will help you. That's one of the most generous guys I've ever met.
It's going to be incredibly honest, too.
100%. And so, and this a lot of times fans will kind of slip into this, Tobes. I'm not saying you are, but sometimes they'll go, and Gary Clark should coach the receivers, and Joe Jacoby should coach the offensive line, and Joe Theismann should coach the quarterbacks. Not ripping any of those guys. They're all great players, and they're legends, and they've earned that. If you're not on the grind as a coach, then that may not be the right career path. But the point of being able to pick somebody's brain, yes, of course you do. If you're like, hey, I want some help from Russ Graham, or I want I don't know, name that off. I want Mark May to come by because he's in town, or Joe Theismann to talk to the quarterbacks, Joe Jacoby. You can name any superstar that did it here, and they can give you their insight. Even if you don't use it, it's still a valuable conversation. It's deferential to the legends that did it before, but B, it doesn't mean that they now are like have the formal role where Brian's got his own incredible life and does so many different things and does his own incredible show here, but he's doing post-game stuff. He doesn't need it. He's fine. But incorporating that, when you literally have the greatest returner of all time, arguably, I mean, the numbers say yes.
Yes.
Whether you prefer Deion Sanders or Dante Hall or somebody else, that's the eye of the beholder. Give me Brian Mitchell, one cut and gone, and I'll truck your ass on the way, please and thank you. But to me, that is such a no-brainer, and it's so awesome, to your point. Because this could be it. Now Jalen Lane's got Brian's phone number. You want to text him, you text him. If you don't, you don't. But today, we're at OTAs. That's the time to do it, right? Maybe not on Wednesday on a game plan install when you're playing the Giants for week one. This is the time to go, here's what I did. Here's why I did it. That's what coaching is for a lot of people, for a lot of ex-players. So I work with a lot of kids, and I'm not putting myself on the same level as Brian Mitchell. I'm not a guy that has a Hall of Fame football resume.
George Washington Hall of Fame, though.
Well, thank you. It's nice of you to say. Just put the compliment out there. Just threw it out there, see if someone would just put it back in the boat. But one of the things I would say is you're going to have a different hitting coach. You're going to have a different person who has a totally different philosophy. It's not an all or nothing thing. You can always incorporate things from people. And what I try to get guys to do is be a little uncomfortable, try something you haven't done for ultimate improvement, right? We're trying to work within a range. So let's feel what too far feels like. And now we'll work it back kind of in that green, more comfortable zone. But we've increased something. If we maximize power by 7%, all those balls in the gap are now home runs. And who doesn't want that? That's kind of what we're talking about. We're building something. So they could disregard every word that Brian Mitchell says. I wouldn't, but you could. there was no harm in having the conversation.
Correct.
And that's kind of my point here is let incorporate the legends. Incorporate all the guys that did it really, really, really well who are here and are still invested. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we were listening to Mike Rizzo a little bit earlier. We'll play some of the audio from the Junkies. They said that Elijah Green, someone that's really, really struggled in his major league career as a high schooler coming out of IMG, he talked about Jason Worth going down and helping him down in Florida and the career arc that Jason Worth had, struggling as a catcher coming out of high school and then eventually turning into what we saw Jason Worth become. And like when we were down in spring training, right? Yep. Guys were coming through. Worth was down there. Mm-hmm. Desmond came through. There's nothing wrong with it. Again, if you don't get anything from it, totally fine. If one person can get something, just one, a little nugget, whatever it may be, and you're thinking, that can improve just that little bit. Everything's about finding an edge. And when you've got all-time greats on your team, like a Brian Mitchell that played here and is still in the area, just getting those little insights helps your team that little bit more and hopefully maybe gives you that edge that you can win football games that you maybe wouldn't have before.
Yeah, so good job. Good job, Dan Quinn. Good job, everybody, for making things like that happen all in. It's really, really cool to see some of those videos of Brian out there working with those guys. Speaking of Local 53, their deep-voiced, handsome, flat-topped offensive coordinator spoke today. Got a couple quotes we're going to play for you, and it leads us to a question about who gets to eat the most in their offense. We'll do that next on The Fan.